Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. How's everyone doing tonight? This is another solo that I'm going to be doing with you all, and it's because I want to talk about the inner child with many of you, and I want to also go into the area of relationships and some of the wounded relationship patterns that we can find ourselves in when we are in when we are acting from a place of our inner child wounding, so to speak, and could be signs that it may be time to do some a deeper dive if you're already into this, or maybe it's time for you to start. And I just want to give a shout out to all of you guys. So nice to see you, Stephanie and Bev and Curtis, Christina Love, my dear, how are you? So the inner child healing is something that I have been on for about six years now. It was in 2016, the summer of 2016, that I started my own inner child healing. And it's a process that I like to share with you guys, all of the, I guess, the insights and the experiences that I've had through it, the understanding and the knowledge and some of the wisdom that's come along the way, because I truly believe this is probably one of the most powerful paths of healing that I've encountered. That doesn't mean that there aren't other ones out there that you shouldn't be engaging in. I still do other forms of healing as well. But the inner child healing is really special. It really allows you to go to the places that you really are scared to go to and make massive transformation in very short periods of time. And because of that, because you're shifting things from the root level, right? When you go to the child within you, you're going to the very beginning of time, so to speak, of your own soul's existence on this particular lifetime, that you're able to get to a lot of the root causes and get something like right at the root. So like you're absolutely able to alchemize something like from the root up and not have to worry about I shouldn't say that. It's not about getting it all, but it's about really like kind of getting to the core essence of it. And so, you know, the inner child, a lot of people maybe don't understand like who is my inner child. And truly the inner child is an expression of all of your experiences and, basically all of your experiences you've had as a child that are both visual, audio, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, all of those experiences that you've had as a child are what your inner child actually is. And it's a part of you that's always there. It's just sometimes we don't even realize that that part exists within us. We think, well, I've just grown up. I'm not that child anymore. But that child is essential to so much of our ability to access our joy and our purpose in our life. And so you definitely want to have a connection to your inner child as you move through your life. And it's something that I've discovered is such an important integral part of my own guidance system, is having a healthy relationship with my inner child where I am checking in on her and I am like, literally having a conversation with her, much like you would even with your guides, right? Or you would with your higher self. We have all these different components of us that really make up the whole, and the inner child is no different from that. And so I want to kind of go into some of the relationship patterns with you guys. One second, let me delete that. So basically, you know, I'm going to go over four patterns here, and I'm going to share this with you so that you can help identify like where you may fit in. You may identify with all of these, you may only identify with one or two, but it'll help you understand maybe where you're at in your own journey and what's kind of coming up for you with your own inner child. And one of the first ones that I think is important is the runner. Whenever we're in a relationship with someone, whether you may be the runner or you may be like, you know, could be friends or could be romantically involved with someone who's a runner. I most certainly have dated my fair share of runners. But that's because, you know, I had a lot of abandonment issues and people-pleasing issues, which we're going to get into. But, you know, the runner basically learned avoidance as a strategy to basically stay safe from very intrusive relationship dynamics. And so if you experienced, maybe it was a chaotic home, or, you know, maybe your parents didn't know how to like, handle certain situations very well, and it got kind of, things would blow up, you may just like have coped by the strategy of just avoiding everything. Like you would withdraw yourself from a situation, just make yourself scarce, and basically just tune it out. And the inner child who learned to cope with trauma in relationships by withdrawing will, as an adult, reject intimacy. They'll create distractions in their lives and stay very busy, like overly busy. And like I know someone in my life who is this to a T, like a total runner. And I know all of the things that they've gone through in their childhood, and I understand how it got to this point. And so the strategy of the runner is, well, you know, as soon as something becomes challenging and I don't know how to handle it because my parents never taught me how to handle it, they never modeled how to handle tough situations or challenging situations. Maybe one of your parents just drank a lot or just withdrew themselves. You know, maybe they just, I don't know, maybe you had a father who would just go on the couch and watch TV and tune everything out. Or maybe you had a mother who would just go to her room and cry and didn't know how to handle it. You know, who knows? Like it could have been a variety of different reasons. But what happens is that you see how this withdrawal, it becomes your strategy. It becomes modeled to you. And it also becomes a sense of safety, perceived safety. So if this is you, if you're a runner or you know someone who is, the true growth here for you is to actually lean towards relationships when the impulse is to run away. You want to allow yourself an opportunity to build trust that basically to trust that your own autonomy can be sustained amidst even having interdependent relationships. So what will often happen, especially with this kind of dynamic, is that there will always be a pull towards codependency, even though the codependency is something the runner absolutely hates, but will covertly create codependent relationships in their lives and not even possibly even realizing it. And it's basically because they don't know how to trust that their own autonomy can actually be maintained through interdependence, and that there can be safety in a relationship by facing the challenges as each individual can communicate it and work out the problem together. So the runner never saw how the problems were worked out together by perhaps in a household where there might be a situation again that would blow up, or there'd be an incident and like it was just pure chaos and no one knew how to deal with it. And the only way that they knew how to deal with that was like, oh, let me just pretend it's not even there, or let me just go focus on something else and this will fix itself. So creating an intimate bond with your inner child as a runner through consistently showing up to check in on your inner child and incorporate them into your life is super beneficial. This can really help you start to minimize or reduce the charge of the need to run. And this will also create like an intimate bond with your inner child, right? So this intimate bond is important because as you keep showing up for your inner child, you're first of all, like not running away from the problem. And so you're creating some sort of safety for the inner child to know that, oh, wow, you're going to show up for me, right? And that small part of you that doesn't feel like it's ever going to have that safety starts to feel safety. And then through consistently showing up, you start to build trust. And through that trust, you can develop an intimate bond that allows your inner child to perhaps open up to you and share more things with you that you didn't even know your inner child had to share with you. And remember, intimacy is into me, right? And I talked about this on one of my podcasts that I also did on Eros and intimacy and magic. And this is really important, is to understand that if you or anyone you know is struggling with intimacy, it is because you are challenged with your own need to actually connect with yourself. So through the connection of your own inner child and building that relationship, you're starting to learn the, let's just call it some of the hallmarks of creating intimacy and how important that intimacy is. Prioritizing your inner child connection is so important. And you do that as a runner by removing all of your self-created distractions, because trust me, from every runner that I've ever met, encountered, all of these distractions are self-created. It's not like, oh, my life is just so busy. It's just happening to me. Like I can't take care of it. Like it's all self-created. There are ways to manage that. And you need to manage them so that you're purposely not preventing the connection with yourself, okay? And ultimately your own inner child. And it's so important to do that. So really, just as if the runner stops running from their own intimacy with self, that can help to strengthen the core relationship with the inner child, which will then start to allow the runner to begin to change the way they perceive any sort of challenge in any kind of relationship. It could be friendship, and be okay to actually stick around and work it through. So how's everyone doing with this? Oh, Killarney Star, you're a runner. You make sure no one leaves you. Oh, because your mother died unexpectedly, see, when you were 7. Okay, see, and this is what can happen. And this is where, like, some of the people that I know have had similar instances, or there have been attempted suicide that they witnessed. And this absolutely would create a runner persona, you know, where you just cannot handle that challenge. And so totally understandable. And this is why it's so important to go back to the inner child. And one of the things that I've been working with some of you this week in your inner child healing sessions one-on-one is been working with the time travel component of going back to that moment in time where the trauma happened and changing the narrative. If you were to go back in time and immerse yourself into that situation, bring your adult self, you know, and you meet up with your child self, and you change the way everything worked out so that things actually worked out in a way that didn't leave you with that traumatic imprint, you can literally, if you immerse yourself deep enough and you really connect with your surroundings and you connect with the experience and you have the intention of shifting it, you can absolutely start to create new patterns and pathways in your brain. Okay, and through your body, the mind now has a new experience to draw upon that challenges the other one. And the more that you create these new experiences that are healthy, you start to disconnect the old brain patterns, okay, the neural pathways that would open up to that traumatic response so easily in the day to day, and you start to open up newer pathways that allow you for more healed connection. So time travel can actually be really beneficial. But it requires you to really be in the moment and to really connect with your surroundings, to feel like you are living that experience again. And of course, do it before the trauma happens, because you don't want to reignite the trauma pattern again. So you need to make it so that that trauma isn't lived out again. So people pleasing is another one. And this one is the one I totally identify with. I'm a total people pleaser. And people pleasing is basically an inauthentic suppression of your own needs out of fear of losing a relationship. And I've had this show up in my life in several different ways, not just in romantic partnership, but with friends, actually a lot of friends, and also even family. And so it happens when we don't trust our needs will be actually met. And so therefore, we also don't trust that our boundaries will be respected. We don't trust that our voice will be heard. And we don't even trust that our experiences will be validated if we actually communicate it to this person that we're in relationship with. And so we suppress that need because we're so scared they're going to leave us, or we're going to. And when I say leave us, it's not just a fear. It's not just the fear of abandonment, but it's the fear of like really losing the relationship and what that means for you. Like whatever you get, what needs might be being met, or what you think might be being met in that relationship. And so when we are people pleasing, that is our expression of securing love over the need to feel safe in a relationship. Because when you're people pleasing, you do not feel safe. You don't ever feel safe. You likely are on edge, and you maybe, until you start to realize that you're doing a lot of the people pleasing in that relationship and not exactly getting back in return what you're putting out, you then may start to see how you aren't feeling very safe. But in the beginning, you probably are oblivious to it. I've had so many instances of this, but the one that really stands out to me is a friendship that I had, a very close friend of mine, who I love very deeply, I was completely immersed in people pleasing in this particular relationship. And I didn't even know it. Until there was one moment, maybe 2 years into the friendship, where I expressed some pain I was going through a very, very painful period in my life. And I needed this person to connect with me in my pain. And this person just didn't know how to connect with me in my pain. And I was always there for this person. This person had a lot of emotional drama that they went through. And it wasn't until I removed myself from the relationship that I actually started to understand how deeply draining that was on my own energy. But I had made all these excuses of, well, this person loves me so much. And this person, the thing that this, that created me to stay in this relationship was, you know, as oldest child of four in my particular family that did not show very much love or affection. There wasn't much time for that. We weren't openly communicative about our feelings. I got all of that in this friendship. And it was like, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, this is what it's like. I totally love it. And so I would make excuses for, this person makes me feel so loved in all these different ways. Like, I surely can do this. But really, when I actually went to voice it, I got met with a person I didn't even recognize. And I was scared to bring this up, as all people pleasers are. I was very intimidated to have this conversation. Also, I wasn't the greatest, my communication skills were getting better, but they weren't like as strong as they are today. And so when I finally got vulnerable and I was crying and trying to express that, you know, I just wasn't getting this part in the relationship that I thought that, well, that I knew I needed, and I thought that this person was able to give me, And this person went ice cold. It was like a completely different soul emerged from behind the eyes. And I was told, it's not my job to cater to your ego. And I'll never forget that statement. It's like it's branded into my mind. And I was stunned. I was stunned. I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. And I, at first I was like, what are you saying? You know, like, I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to really be really honest and open here. And, you know, I feel like I offer all of this compassion for you, you know, like, oh my gosh, it was so much compassion. And, I just wasn't getting any of it in this moment. And so that scared me. And I retreated, as a people pleaser usually will. And the problem was, though, is that the trust was beginning to erode in our relationship, because now I didn't feel safe. That particular instant, like, I was already feeling somewhat like I wasn't sure if I could say anything. But now it was like I had to say something, because it was overly, like, in my face. And when trust erodes the relationship, it usually will lead to anger, because you're starting to realize, like, your needs aren't being met. And when you start to get really angry about your needs not being met, that then leads to resentment. And I started to accumulate a lot of resentment, and the resentment started to build over the next year or so, which is when I finally ended the relationship, because another incident came up the second time where I finally, like, voiced my concerns about the relationship and was again met with, somehow got turned around, like I was the bad person. And this is what can happen when you're a people pleaser, because so many people are used to you just taking the brunt of things and you just laying over and like, well, don't worry about it, I'll deal with it. Like, you know, like, it's okay. You know, you make all these excuses. And so this happened again. And I just was in a much different place a year later. And I recognized the pattern and I realized that this is not acceptable anymore. Like, I'm not doing this. And they threatened the friendship. Although I knew they didn't mean it, they did threaten it. And that was the last straw, because to me, anyone who's in a healthy relationship, when you start, and this is the beautiful thing about the inner child healing, is that you do start to form really healthy relationships with people in your life. And the ones that aren't so healthy start to, you know, surface up to the front for you to either transmute, like you can either work on it together and it gets better, or like you're at an impasse and you have to, like, let the relationship go. And in this particular instant, I knew that this person wasn't ready to see their role in the friendship. And I was like, well, my needs aren't getting met, so this isn't good for me. And I just decided that after they tried to apologize, I just ended it, because I knew that the apology was manipulated too. And so it was like a really big lesson for me in understanding how deep my people-pleasing wounds were. And truly, the, you know, to bring it all back to me, is the resentment that I was feeling towards her was truly just a reflection of my own resentment towards myself for not allowing my own needs to be important, for not allowing my own needs to be met, and to continuously meet other people's needs as my needs were not being met. And so this is where boundaries become essential. But here's the thing, and this is why I created that Inner Child online course, because there are some basic needs that we all have that resonate within each chakra center. And then there are needs that will bloom beyond those basic needs in each center as well, and they'll kind of crisscross and intermingle and all that. And it becomes a very deeply entangled journey of understanding the healing of your own inner child, which is why it's so important to start with the first basic need, which is the root chakra. And that is basically is to have safety and security. And so with people pleasing, you know, one of the things that I needed to do was, okay, I knew I needed to meet my needs. I needed to have my needs met, but I'm like, well, what are my needs? And I started to realize, like, I want to feel safe and secure in my friendships, that I can actually express something to someone that I'm not happy about, and we can actually have an adult conversation about it and not make it turn into a, you know, a victim perpetrator type of experience. And that we can maybe work through it together and move on and actually maybe strengthen the relationship. I would want to do the same for my friend. And so having safety and security was an important need. But here's the thing, is that I started to realize that as I started to go into more of the inner child sexual abuse that I had, that kind of healing, I started to realize how important safety and security was to me and how unimportant I actually made the need as a child because I didn't have it. And this is, there are two ways that you will recognize root chakra safety security issues. Is if you have an issue with safety and security, you will deal with it in two ways. One way is that you will likely make it a non-issue. So you realizing that there's no safety and security around, like whatever, you may have one experience, or there may be like a pattern of experiences happening that are showing you your environment, your relationships are not safe and secure, you're not safe and secure. And so if you're very empathic and you feel a lot, and particularly you're not comfortable in your own body, you will want to be outside your body. And so you make safety a non-issue. And this is a coping mechanism so that you don't actually feel like your needs aren't being met. You pretend that need isn't even a need. Make sense? On the flip side, you could be someone who maybe doesn't feel things so empathic, like you're still empathic, but you don't feel things that deeply, where you might make safety and security a hyper issue, where like you won't do anything without like checking all these things, making sure all these things are met, you know, and it's over the top, like needing safety security. And so those are the two kind of ways that we can experience this. And those are the some of the core issues that need to be dealt with in the root chakra before any of this stuff can really be dealt with. And so understanding how our needs are not met in different energy centers and how deeply they go and what the basic needs are and then what you need to deal with is so important to really getting a deeper understanding of how to reconnect with your inner child and heal the shadows of your own innocence. So the inner child, like you as an inner child, if you are a people pleaser, you likely met everyone else's needs to either keep the peace or to secure love. So this is going to be something for you guys to think about for any of you people pleasers out there, is how often are you trying to keep peace, or how often are you trying to secure love and putting your own need for security and safety and having those needs met aside? Your growth edge is found by working with your inner child to validate their experiences as whatever it is they felt. So this is super important. So because, see, this is what happened with my friend, is I'm saying I'm feeling X and Y because of this. And this person's saying, no, I never did that. No, that's all you. Like totally invalidating my experience, right? And I'm just sharing what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. Whether it's right or wrong to that person, this is what I'm experiencing. And so when you're working with your inner child, it can be really powerful for you to validate their experiences. Now, this is another thing that I have to go through with almost every single one of you who book an inner child healing session with me. It usually comes up, I would say 9 out of 10 times. Don't worry, I've done the same thing. But when you're going back in your healing, you will have a tendency to invalidate your experience without even realizing you're invalidating it by saying, but my mom is a really good person, or my dad, I know he loves me, and he was just doing the best he knew how. And we will try to buffer the blow against our own parents' role in our experience, which will totally invalidate the inner child and will continue to make the inner child feel like, I'm not being seen, I'm not being heard. You know, what I experience isn't real. It's not true. And it's, that means it's unimportant and it's not worthy. And then you could like start to go into all these self-worth issues. It's so important to understand that you as the adult who can understand that your mom and your dad were likely doing the best that they knew how. Okay. There are some rare circumstances here. I don't want to say that there aren't some pretty shitty parents out there, but for the most part, you know, parents are doing the best that they know how, given their own circumstances, given the fact that they never went through their own inner child healing, right? But that does not diminish your experience as the child. And you've got to make sure, you've got to be able to catch yourself when you're doing that to stop. Because it's not about demonizing your parents. Okay, that's not what the inner child work is about. It's about connecting with the experience that you had as a child, that inner child needs a voice. It needs to be heard. It needs to be expressed. And it needs to know that it can't say anything bad or wrong to make you run away again and abandon it for all the years and decades that it's been abandoned. And so that is another really important part to the inner child healing, which will really benefit any of you who are people pleasers, but just in general, any kind of inner child work, is make sure that you validate your inner child's experience and you don't try to buffer it with, well, I know my mom, like she was a single mom and she was working three jobs and she was doing the best she could. And like, she could only, it's okay. That is totally fine and totally understandable as the adult, but as the child who needed mom around more and didn't understand, you know, like that all those different things that were happening, you've just got to be able to tend to that child. Like if you think about it, if you have your own child or you like have a child in front of you, whether there may be a niece or a nephew or a friend's child, and they're like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're upset and they're crying and they're telling you something that they're upset about, you're not going to like minimize it by telling them like, oh, it's okay, it's not that big of a deal. You can say, your mom didn't mean it, if you're, maybe like the child feels yelled at or something, but you can say like, tell me about your feelings. Why are you so upset? This is how we build healthy communication, is that we learn to validate everyone else's experiences and allow for the true expression to be heard. Even if we may have seen it in a different way, it doesn't matter. It's how that person experienced it. And when that person starts to feel safe enough to communicate what they're experiencing without feeling like they're going to be made to feel small or stupid or worse, be rejected, then like it starts to open up a whole new dynamic of self-exploration for you and your own inner child, and then also within the relationships that you have right now. So let them know that their needs are important. As a people pleaser, you definitely want to work with your inner child to let them know that their needs are important. You want to discover those needs, okay? You're going to need to know what those needs are and start meeting them. And that's, again, why I put that whole course together, so that you can like go through it at your own pace and understand like what are all the different needs, because it can become very overwhelming when you try to do this on your own and there's not like a lot of structure on like what to do. So let them know that their needs are important and really allow yourself to discover what those needs are and start meeting them, not just for your own inner child, but in your own life for you. And then create a secure relationship of love with your inner child so that there's no longer that blueprint where you need to seek to secure love outside of you and also trade in the safety of your own needs being met, right? So you won't actually seek out a relationship where you need to secure the love, okay? And in doing so, allow all your needs to go unmet or a huge portion of your needs to go unmet, because you're already creating that security of love with your own inner child. So you already know what that feels like. And because you're creating that frequency internally, you're going to be able to project that into your external world, where you start to actually have people show up that are going to reflect that security of love and meeting your needs at the same time. What an amazing concept. You know, it's like, as a people pleaser, you wonder if that's even possible. Trust me, I've been there. So that's really, really important. And then let's kind of also get into one of them that's abandonment, right? Abandonment is a real issue. I think so many of us have an issue. I don't know who doesn't have an issue of abandonment, but if you have a fear of abandonment where it's actually really maybe ruling your relationships, it's because your inner child had unmet needs of consistency and reliability in those that you actually relied on for bonding. So whoever you needed to have bonds with, if they weren't showing up to meet your needs in a consistent and reliable way, then you're going to have a sense of abandonment. Now, of course, that can go even deeper where, you know, you could experience a lot of loss. Like it could be a death. It could be a divorce. It could be, you know, a parent walks out. It could be something even bigger like that. But even if it's not that, it's just about not having those consistent and reliable bonding experiences that were meeting your needs. And so if you experienced any kind of loss, and again, loss in that, wow, I'm not getting what I need, or someone's walked out on me, or someone's left, or mom and dad are divorced, or, you know, there was an unfortunate death in the family, you will internalize it as a reflection of how worthy you were to have someone stay. So this is where a lot of the unworthiness comes in through abandonment. And you just feel like I wasn't worth them putting in the consistency. I wasn't worth them being reliable enough for me to count on. And you will internalize that. And then what will happen is you will likely experience relationships as tentative, even if the relationship is showing you the contrary. So it's like, because there's this, it's almost like we wear this veil or this lens that we look through that on every relationship, when we're holding in that internalized loss within ourselves of abandonment, that we're constantly projecting it into all of our relationships and feel like there's someone's going to leave. And what it does is it creates a very anxious attachment style. And so you never feel at ease. If you have abandonment issues, like it just takes the smallest thing to trigger you and set you off. So what you need to do is, if you have abandonment issues, is one is you need to stop abandoning your own inner child. This was something that was definitely highlighted to me. What I definitely had abandonment issues. I definitely did not feel like, I know my needs were not met reliably or consistently when I was a child. And obviously, I had some couple of traumatic experiences. But I also had a father who wasn't around as much, and I craved his attention because I thought that would mean he loved me more. And so what I had to do was I had to really just even, here's the thing, doing inner child work will automatically start to heal the abandonment wound. However, to really shift and heal that wound, you have got to show up consistently and be reliable to your own inner child in meeting their need to have like that bonding time with you, right? That time where like they actually get to connect with you and not fear that you're going to leave them again if they maybe say the wrong thing or they do the wrong thing, you know? And this is a fear that a lot of us have. So you need to claim your need first of all, you need to claim your need to reconnect with your own self, to not abandon your own self. Self-abandonment, right, is further enhanced by refusing to do your inner child work. But then also understand to claim your need for consistency and dependability. This was huge for me. I didn't realize that this was one of my needs. I thought for a long time, I would say the greater part of my life, because this didn't really come up for me until maybe I started doing my inner child work. I didn't even realize this. I didn't realize that I needed dependability and consistent bonding in my life. Like, you think like, well, isn't that an obvious given? But I've lived my life, when I look at all my patterns and behaviors, just in how I live my life, is very much like inconsistent and not necessarily reliable. I tended to be reliable to other people, like, of course, but when it came to like stuff for me, no, I wasn't always reliable. I would always like bail on myself, you know, which I want to say, when you bail on yourself, it causes you to lose a little bit more faith in yourself until you get to a point where you don't even trust yourself. And that's how we lose faith in who we are, you know, as a person, but which definitely happened to me. And so I was just always like, no, I don't need to have safety, security. I don't need to have that reliability and consistency. You know, like, I like it when things are random. I like it when I, you know, off the cuff, like, you know, like I love spontaneity, which is totally cool. Spontaneity is totally fine. I think it's a great thing. But it was like to the extreme of it, where there was never that stability that I craved. And when I started to realize that I actually needed that, oh my gosh, so many things started to shift in my relationships. So I didn't actually, as I started to tend to my own inner child, people in my life who, like, the relationships that were healthy and were willing to grow with me were actually getting stronger, and people were like, would never abandon me. And I'm at a point now, like, thankfully, where for the most part, I can look at my relationships and say I've got some of the greatest relationships I've ever had. And that's like one of the highlights of inner child work. I dedicate a lot of that growth and success to my inner child healing. Yes, it did come from other things, but the inner child healing has been absolutely instrumental in that. And to have those relationships where I know someone's got my back. Oh, this is where I'm going to get a little vulnerable with you guys. I was actually preparing this show for you guys. Like, you know, I was preparing it earlier today, and, you know, then a little bit right before I went live, and I started crying, and I got triggered this morning when I was at the gym. And I think this trigger set off a whole chain of events where I started to get really irritated and agitated, and I just couldn't even sit still in my own body. You know, like, I need to get home and just do something. Like, I need to start doing my work, or I need to do whatever. I don't know. My dog was like super anxious when I got home, and was like way more than normal, like way more. And I was like, why are you so anxious? You know, like, stop. I can't deal with your anxiety right now. And just needed to be around me. But I was like, I can't give you anything right now. And so part of this is because, ironically, it's actually a good thing, but I don't know. I've got to sit with the trigger more. And if you guys in the audience have any insight into this, please let me know. But I started to cry. I was on like those hydro massage beds, you know, like that have warm water underneath them, and like they have leather over top. And it was after my workout, and I was doing that, and which is something I've been doing to meet more of my needs, to take care of myself. but all of a sudden I started to think about my situation that I'm in right now, that I've been kind of chatting with you guys about it. I've opened up with you guys in alchemy a little bit more, about how I'm going through a very challenging, period in my life right now, about needing to, complete something and move on. And, you know, I realized that I actually have people who have my back, and not just people in this dimension, but in other dimensions. Like, I'm starting to see how my guides and interdimensional assistance is coming through at this time. And one of the messages that I was given last week from my guidance team, which I think is appropriate to share with all of you guys, is that they said, we help those who are helping themselves. And of course, we help those who are absolutely working to help the future of humanity. And I say that because in this particular instance, there's something I've been avoiding for years, and I've gotten myself into this particular situation. And it's not necessarily a bad situation. It's just stressful. There's a lot that I have to take care of, loose ends that need to be tied up. And I need to do it because it would allow me to have something that I've been desiring for years. And it would completely just be like, it would be, my heart has wanted this for so long. And so there are things though that I have to face that are really scary, but somehow everything's just working out. It doesn't mean that it relieves the stress, because there are still uncertainties within my situation that, even though I know in the end it's all going to work out, I don't exactly know where I'm landing with certain things, and whether, or it doesn't matter really in the end of it, because I know however I'll land on my feet. But that still, there's a part of me that's scared. I'm like, does someone really have my back? And am I going to be safe enough to go through this? And I started crying this morning because I did realize I'm at a point in my life where I can honestly say I have so many people in my life that have my back, and the relationships that I do have are so solid in that. And of course, there are still some relationships that are kind of wobbly, but I'm working on that because I think that they're worth working on. And the ones that aren't, you know, I've been okay to let those go. And I have had to let some go recently, where some of them aren't very like they're more recent relationships, but they're kind of showing patterns where I'm like, nope, old me would have put up with that. Old me would have allowed that. No, not anymore. Boundaries are important. And I have no qualms of actually exercising those boundaries now. And so, you know, having that ability for me to show up, I'm having to show up for myself. Okay, there's a big job I have to do. I have to complete it, and I got to get this done. And it's going to take hours and days and possibly even weeks to get it done, on top of like all my other stuff. I go, but I got to show up for myself. I've got to do it. And I have been, and it's just been really incredible to see the discipline of me being more consistent with showing up for myself and knowing that I can rely on myself to do what I need to do so that my inner child feels safe, and or at least safer. Because I'd be lying if I said there aren't moments where I'm like, this is feeling a little too much, like it's a little overwhelming, you know. But truthfully, I look at the astrological alignments and I'm like, this is bound to happen. I actually saw it 6 months ago. I'm like, something's going to be happening here. I can just feel it. And of course, sure enough, it all came to light. So that's kind of, when it comes to abandonment, our growth is to claim consistency and dependability. Show up for yourself every day and don't miss it. Do not miss it. You have to show up. You have to create that consistency and that dependability. And again, this is where discipline becomes your divine counterpart. Okay, that's where I call divine discipline. It's nothing mystical. There's nothing magical about it. Although I want to say, actually, there is something very magical about discipline, because through the consistency of your discipline, you will be able to see something take shape and form that you didn't even know was possible until you actually applied yourself. And that's why a lot of us are having these challenges coming up right now, is because we're being asked to really, where we're going, the future that we've been lining ourselves up for on our timelines, it requires a higher level of our own existence to show up. And we have to kind of drop some of the, whatever the choices or the patterns or whatever it is that we've been living in that aren't going to support us in our future. And so we have to deal with them now, tie them up, because it becomes baggage, and you can't take that baggage with you into higher timelines, right? As you go into higher timelines, usually your baggage is getting lighter. Okay. So the other one that I want to talk about is relationship drama. Okay. This is the last one. Oh, relationship drama. I don't know if any of you have found yourself in dramatic relationships. I know I have. But, you know, when you're finding yourself in that situation, more often than not, it stems from some measure of self-abandonment. Okay, this is where, you see how everything kind of intertwines and interweaves? This is why the inner child work can get really, I don't want to say messy, but very tangled up. Okay, it can become very entangled, and you're not really sure where to go. And again, this is why, like, I highly suggest for any of you who are really looking for like a step-by-step process to kind of like hold your hand through it and understand exactly how you need to understand what your needs are and met, my online inner child healing course that I've left in the description below and in the show notes is there for you. And I've created it so that you guys can pay in 2 installments because I know that it's an investment, but it's an investment into your future relationship with all aspects of your life, okay? Not just your inner child and you, not just your friendships, not just your partner, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your coworkers, but like how you engage life in general, how you like start to align more with your purpose, how you start to reconnect with the joy. Inner child work is not just about the shadows. It is also about the joy and the excitement. I want to say that. And so when it comes to relationship drama, you likely learned to stifle your own authentic needs through what was modeled growing up, right? What you saw. So whoever you experienced yourself as in relationship to others is what becomes your I am imprint. Okay? So your I am imprint is what develops from your relationship with other people and how you experienced yourself in relationship to those other people. And if you internalize disempowering beliefs, they will continue to play out in drama if you stay unconscious to them. So again, relationship drama is a result of self-abandonment and projection of blame. This is where the victimhood comes in. This is why, you know, unfortunately, if you find yourself in relationship drama, there is an element of you that's still like got that victim frequency. I've had it. I've had really relationship dramas, you know, recently. Don't feel bad if you're relating to this. What happens is through the healing journey is that we just start to minimize the charge and we start to lessen it. And we start to heal it. It doesn't all just heal overnight, but we start to like really. It's like you gently start removing it from your field, and so. Relationship drama is something I totally found myself in all the time, especially in my 20s, when I was not so healed yet. and I was drinking a lot of alcohol. So my relationship dynamic in our household was very much relationship drama. What happens is, like, we were not a very expressive family, okay? Like, again, no one really expressed love or their feelings or talked. If you cried, you were told to stop crying. And so there was a lot of bottled up tension, like, emotionally for all of us. And no one really truly knew how to communicate. That was the other thing. Like my parents still don't know how to communicate the greatest. They're better now, but even sometimes when I love them dearly, they're so precious. But when I go home, I sometimes like watch them communicate with one another and I'm like, gosh, your inner child and your inner child are like just going at it right now. And it's so wild to witness as an observer who's not involved in it. I know I still act out on my own inner child stuff as well. So my family was one that was very chaotic. There were constant eruptions. It went from 0 to 60, and it was like, because no one was able to express their emotions, no one even knew what emotions they were feeling. And then it just all came out in some like vomit of emotions. And it basically became this, you know, like you scream at the top of your lungs. You have a shouting match. Someone cries. Someone slams their feet on the floor, stomps up to the room, slams the door, and then starts crying alone. And it's just like, that was literally probably every holiday at my house and every kind of occasion that you could imagine. And I think for me, I recognize my role in it, in that how I experienced myself in that relationship drama was as the mediator. And so I wasn't always the mediator. I definitely was shouting at times, but overall, I was more of the person who would try to like calm the situation down. Like, let's just get to a peaceful place, or, you know, like try to tend to appease that person's needs and then appease the other person's needs. And so I identified more as like the mediator. But of course, as the mediator, you know, like I couldn't, it was hard when I actually did have an issue and like I would scream and shout and cry. But I realized though that when I would do that, when I wasn't playing the role of the mediator and I was full on in explosion, chaotic drama mode, I was realizing that that was the only way I felt like I was seen or heard. And because we weren't seen or heard through constructive emotional communication methods, I had to resort to those methods because that's when I learned, oh, someone's actually paying attention to me. Whether it's a good attention or not, at least someone's paying attention to me. And so I would find myself in dramatic relationships where often I was the mediator. But when it came to a point where I would blow up, because that's the only way I knew how to communicate, it was either keep everything down. No one needs to know about your needs. You don't matter until like, obviously the resentment grows so deeply that you just explode on someone and probably at the most, like at the smallest thing, because now you've just, your fuse has been completely lit. And so, I had to recognize that, one, I was also creating this victim mentality of like, oh, poor me, right? Well, no, not poor me. I didn't express myself when I should have. I didn't say when something was bothering me. I would allow myself to bury it until like I would explode. And so I did that. Those were my choices. Of course, that came from like inner child wounding and all of that, that, you know, now you heal. But this is how you recognize where you don't want to play the victim. You don't want to project blame because that's how you create more relationship drama. And you also learn how to like, okay, how do I tend back to myself? How do I not abandon my needs in this situation? And so it's important for you when you're doing your inner child work around any kind of relationship drama is to understand what kind of disempowering beliefs you may have internalized when you were growing up. What was modeled to you in relationship, like how were relationships communicated, or, you know, how did they end up? You know, was it even keel or was it like 0 to 60 like mine? And some of you may have experienced relationships where there was nothing, like it almost felt dead. You know, I think that's also a big possibility. So find out what the disempowering beliefs are that you've internalized. And also it's important to understand what are my authentic needs. And how can I tend to them now? And again, this brings me back to why it's so important to know what your needs are. If you don't know what your needs are, you can't tend to your inner child in the way that he or she needs you to tend to them. And you'll never be able to actually receive those needs being met in real life because you don't even know what they are. So you can't even, this is the other thing, you can't even draw proper boundaries if you don't even know what your needs are. So for instance, communication, I have learned, has become one of my number one deal-breaking needs. So if I'm in relationship with anyone, any kind of relationship, doesn't matter, family, friends, lover, doesn't matter. Communication is absolutely essential, okay? It is one of my deal-breaker needs. Like if it's not being met, deal breaker, no go. This relationship does not move forward. So either we find a way to make the communication happen. And if it's not, then peace out. And that is like something that has become really empowering for me. And this is actually something I've only developed over the last year of really understanding that this is one of my like non-negotiables, a non-negotiable need. Like there is no negotiation around it. Either it's met or like I'm out. And it's because I know how important it is for me. And it's because I understand how important communication is. Of course, we also all understand communication is like the hallmark of any successful relationship. However, for me, like I almost feel like communication is more important than love. Like I can honestly say that. Like it's like the number one thing for me. So when you can like isolate what your number one need is, it can really change the game for your relationships and how you heal through them or let some go and welcome new ones in that are really supportive of that. And, you know, like, inner child healing has done so much for me, and I see the growth that happens with my clients, like those of you who have been working with me through your own inner child journey, and those of you who are in the online course. And I want to say it has happened where I've had, you know, people will take the course and they get scared. They reach a point where they're scared. They're like, I'm reaching a point and I'm starting to get scared. I don't know if I want to go any further yet. And that's when, like, it's time to book a session one-on-one, because you need someone to hold your hand, and your inner child actually wants you, like, to have someone who can take both of you through, like, this a scary part. And that's what's always nice. But you can always have that as a guide stone to do on your own time. And I say this because you guys in my audience, you know, intuition is such an important part of our journey, our own navigation system. And I can see in the world that intuition is becoming a much more accepted sense and much more important part of our decision making. You can see it being talked about in mainstream more often. I'm seeing people who have, like, massive followings and are big business people that are, like, talk about how their intuition is, like, their number one guidestone. And so I love seeing that. And so for me, one of the things that I've realized is that my intuition really got stronger the more I worked with my own inner child. And that is partly because the heart opens, right? When you do your inner child work, and that allows you to receive more connectivity by going deeper, like allowing you to be more intimate. So you get to get more intimate even with your own intuition and your own intuitive tools and your guides. And you can get deeper that way. You know, my inner child is who introduced me to my own Akashic records. She brought me into them for the first time. She literally unlocked the door for me and took me in there. And so, you know, the inner child is, he or she will become one of your most valued guides on your journey, but also will unlock so much potential and wisdom for you if you allow them to. You know, that's why they say with kids, they say the darndest things. Is sometimes a kid will say something, you're just like flabbergasted, like, what old soul are you that just came out of your mouth? And it's because it's in us all. We come in with all of this stuff, but the child seems to have the access to it because there's something about the purity of our own innocence. When we reconnect to our own innocence, that purity that's in the heart, it just kind of melts away so many things that hold us back. So, you know, intuition is where I made quantum leaps through inner child healing. Also, I want to say I can absolutely, without a doubt, tell you guys that as of today, I have the strongest and healthiest relationships I've ever had. Yes, I still have a few that are not where I would like them to be. But that's going to require, like, you know, work between me and those people. But on a whole, I would say, like, the relationships that I do have are so solid. And I think it's because I've learned to be able to understand what my needs are, express them, not be afraid to ask for what I need. And the people that are wanting to be my friend or have any kind of relationship with me respect that part and also want to reciprocate that. And those are the kind of people you want in your life. Those are the kind of people you want to have relationship with. Communication, again, probably my communication skills are unparalleled to what they used to be. Guys, if you met me in my 20s, and I'm talking like 25, 26, even in my early 30s, okay? I'm not talking that long ago. Like, you could go back 10 years and you wouldn't even recognize me. You would not recognize me at all. My communication skills were mute. That's what my communication level was. Mute. The mute button. Okay? Like, I didn't know how to express myself. And when it came time, I literally felt I froze and everything was going on in my head, but I just couldn't, like, get it out of my mouth. I was so scared. to share. I didn't know how to express. And the more I worked with my own inner child, the more I've been able to become vulnerable and start to understand what my feelings are and understand what my needs are and understand why everything happened the way it did and why I am who I am today and where it all was rooted in. And it just, gosh, when you have that kind of comprehension, you just start to have a lot more compassion for yourself, and that in itself softens your ability to communicate, because you're like, oh, okay, yes, no, you did go through some stuff. Like, okay, this is why it is. And so now I feel like I can use my voice from a place of strength, where before, honestly, I would even go back like 10 years ago, and I was unable to say what I needed to say. I would just break down into tears. I would crawl up into a ball and I would just play victim, because I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to get my feelings out. I didn't know even if my feelings were valid. I felt like my feelings were probably not even valid. So what's the point of expressing them? You know, I honestly, there were times where I'm like, well, what's the point? I'm probably wrong. I probably like screwed every, you know, like it's all probably my fault. You know, I would just take everything on. So, so being able to communicate things now has been so essential for also boundary setting, which creates healthy relationships, right? If you can't communicate your needs and then exercise the need into reality but through boundaries, then it's very difficult to have a healthy relationship. So communication, being able to set boundaries, like it's becoming easier and easier, guys. Like I can't tell you, I'm even amazing myself. Even just this last weekend, I amazed myself with a situation that where I was able to state like, you know, okay, these are some of my needs that aren't being met. And like, because of this, this is what's happening. And this person was totally like, I get it. I totally get it. And they understood. And they're like, oh, wow. Like, thank you so much for sharing that. And before, like, I would have been so scared, because I'd be like, am I going to hurt this person's feelings? Or like, are they going to take it the wrong way? And, you know, I think part of it is that I've gotten so comfortable with myself and who my inner child is. And I really started to love her and love who she is and love that authenticity, that I now don't have nearly as many hangups through my own authentic expression. And so that's super important. And of course, I think, like, you know, the other two things that have been so beneficial to the inner child healing journey for me is joy and purpose, for sure. I have been blessed with being on a path that has always been accessing my joy and purpose in some capacity. They were always like stepping stones to get to another place, but I always found joy in everything that I've done. And I've always felt purposeful in everything I've done. But I'm saying that because even if you're someone who doesn't have that purpose or that joy in your life, even if you don't, it doesn't matter, because even when you do, there's still a deeper level that you can connect to that just goes so far beyond what you even understand to be possible for yourself, that you don't even realize how you can experience your life. Like I thought, oh, hey, I'm pretty lucky. I'm experiencing my joy and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, okay, let me just say this. I experienced my purpose and joy through my work, but my relationships were total fucking shambles, okay? My relationships were total shambles. And so, you know, my experience of life through my relationships was horrifying in many ways. And so now I've been able to find the joy and the purpose in my relationships and what I'm bringing to the table and what the counterpart in that relationship is bringing to the table. And it's just so much more harmony and so much more depth that I didn't realize that you could have relationships like this and that you could experience life with people in this manner where, you know, you have each other's back and you can hear each other out and there isn't anything you can say that will really turn that person away from you. And they're there to share in your tears. They're there to share in your laughter. And they really want to lift you up and they want to see you succeed and they don't want to tear you down. Like, wow. Like to have like relationships like that so predominantly throughout my life now, in this particular period in my life, is awe-inspiring to me. I'm like, to me, that is like another gift that I like, it's so hard to describe because You don't know it until you're experiencing it. And that's the thing. You just don't know what you're missing out on until you actually experience it. And then you're like, why did I settle for all that other shit? You know, like, wow. And of course, the last thing is intimacy, guys. Intimacy is so important. It will deepen every part of your experience on this planet, how you experience your life, your relationships, what you do for your work. The intimate bond that you can create with your inner child is through the depth of you going into yourself, right? Going into as far deep down inside that you can within yourself to understand who you are and to understand all of the facets, the good and the bad, and still embrace it all and love it all and be okay with it in acceptance. There's something really beautiful about creating intimacy in this life. Like, you could be having a really intimate experience in nature, you know, where like it could just be you in the trees, or it could be you and like a bird, or like maybe like an animal crosses your path, and or just in general, like just the environment. You can really connect in such an intimate way that you really feel your connectivity is infinite and ever like permeating through all aspects around you. So I wanted to share this with you guys because I think it's important. There's so much joy to be had in this life. There's so much life to be experienced, and so many ways that we can be living in this lifetime that are far beyond what we're allowing ourselves to live. And many of those access points will come through working with your inner child. And again, I say that from my own experience. I'm not saying that because I think it sounds good or like, you know, whatever. Like, it really truly has worked for me. And I see it working with a lot of my clients and some of the incredible breakthroughs that they have that show up almost instantaneously in their life. So if you guys need any help along your journey, of course, know that I am always here. This is like part of my purpose. It's what I love to do. The inner child work is like part of the cornerstone of my work. If you ever need a guiding hand, I am here for you one-on-one. Or if you're really interested in doing a deep dive, I have my healing, online healing course that is basically reconnecting you to your inner child to heal the shadows of your own innocence. And so I highly recommend that, just because I know that those of you who are listening are dedicated to your journey. I know you're dedicated to making this planet a brighter place than when you found it. And the greatest way you can do that is through the workings of you and your inner child. Because, you know, it's like on my last podcast, I gotta say this because I haven't talked about it since, but that frequency, what do you call it? Vibrational fertilizer. Let's call it frequency fertilizer, right? Like, you literally can fertilize the planet with your own frequency in a much greater capacity as you start to heal and come into wholeness with all aspects of yourself, all the parts that have been rejected, all the parts that have been abandoned, all the parts that have been forgotten about and lost. When you start to pull all those parts back into you, you become like this top grade, high level frequency fertilizer for planet Earth. Okay. And you can literally just shift people's moods, shift their experience from just them like walking near you. Okay. Or having like a short conversation with you. And so allow yourself to become the most potent frequency fertilizer for this planet that does not need to be shipped in from Russia. You yourself, you know, you can literally like probably, I'll bet, you know what, this is just, yes, okay, you know, fertilizer in general is awesome thing for sure, but you know, you, if you were to do your healing and energy work or meditation on grass in a specific spot every day, I guarantee you, you would start to see greener blades of grass around you, possibly flowers pop up. You would start to see more life in that area. So maybe that's something that all of us can maybe try, and we can kind of report back, because that will be an actual physical manifestation for all of us to understand how important our own frequency is and how we can literally change through shifting our own work and working with our own vibration, our own healing and everything to shift the world around us. It's pretty amazing. All right, guys. So I love you all. I'm going to close it out here and have a wonderful evening. I'll be back with you guys soon. And thank you so much to my mods for being in the chat tonight. And thank you to the audience. I love you guys. And I'll see you guys next week. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.